الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. متفق عليه. My respected brothers and elders, all of us have some important occasion in our lives that we all look forward towards. Some exciting event, some important occasion that all of us look forward towards. We are very excited, very joyous about that particular occasion that we await. And we make a lot of preparations for that occasion. We have nikahs that take place. We have nikahs in our family. We find months in advance, the people at home are busy preparing. The ladies especially will go to town almost every day, busy shopping, looking for the best type of outfit for the bride, to make sure that her trousseau is ready, because she is going to get married. It's a very important occasion in her life. They would go to the jewelry shops. They would try and pick the best jewelry, and they would ensure that they have the best pattern also. They would look and search for the best type of shoes. There is a lot of excitement in the family. The father is also, when he comes home, and he also participates in their joy. So months in advance, there are major preparations that take place for this one occasion of nikah. Most of you are businessmen. We find especially the month of December, shops are very busy. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us barakat. But you find months in advance, a businessman is busy preparing. When it is already October and his goods are not yet, he has not received his goods yet, he makes 100 phone calls to the various factories. My goods have not yet come. What's the problem? So we find he makes a lot of effort and he makes a lot of preparations. There are sales that come out. There are pamphlets that are distributed. So the businessman also, he is looking forward to us for that occasion where he's going to be very busy. So he makes a lot of preparations for that busy month of his. We have students who are currently or about to begin and commence the examinations. They are burning the midnight oil weeks before the examination, the imtihan can occur. They are already preparing for this. Those who are in matric are excited. They want to pass the examination. It is a very great occasion in their life. My respected brothers and elders, from the ayat of the Quran I have recited, all of you are familiar with this ayah. We understand and we can already sense the dawning of Ramadan. We can sense that Ramadan is now knocking on our doors. My respected brothers and elders, we have to prepare for this very great occasion in our lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make us understand how important this month of Ramadan is, he mentioned a day before Ramadan commenced, when he called the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, and he addressed them, and he mentioned shahrun azeemun, shahrun mubarakun, qad adallakum shahrun azeemun, shahrun mubarak, a very great month, a very auspicious month, a very blessed month dawns over you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith, he encourages the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in to spend the Ramadan correctly, He encourages them to perform certain actions. My respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one hadith, if only my ummah, listen very carefully to the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if only my ummah really know or really knew what Ramadan is, they would desire that the entire year be Ramadan. If my ummah knew what really Ramadan is, the importance of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan, then they would desire that the entire year must be Ramadan. Alas, many of us make some very foolish statements. We wish that Ramadan goes by quickly so that we can spend our time in our shops more relaxed, so that we can go out visiting or we can go on a holiday trip. My respected brothers and elders, Ramadan is a blessed month, a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special mercy descends. Allah forgives our sins. In fact, talking about business and rosy, in one hadith it is mentioned, يَزْدَادُ فِيهِ رِزْقُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. In the month of Ramadan, the rosy of a believer is increased. So my respected brothers and elders, we are approaching a very Mubarak month. Even the month of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep a lot of rosa in the month of Sha'ban. The 15th night of Sha'ban is a very blessed night. Whilst we are speaking about Allah's mercy, and I feel it is important just to touch on this particular aspect, because many of us only on the night of Sha'ban, if we do come to the masjid and we hear a lecture, then there is one aspect that is normally discussed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives His entire makhluk except certain people. And amongst those certain people, the first one is a mushrik, one who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second person is that person who causes enmity between two Muslim brothers. He causes them to fight. He causes disunity in the community. Such a person is not forgiven. Everybody else is forgiven, besides a mushrik and that person who causes disunity amongst the Muslims. And the third person is that person who severs, he breaks off his family ties. So before that night can come, let us pick up the phone, let us go to our family, to the homes of our family members, with those people who we are not on talking terms. My respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that person who makes salam first, when two people are not on talking terms, the person who makes salam first, he is free from pride. Why make ourselves deprived of this great, great occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us? Another person who is not forgiven is that person whose pants is below his ankles. Time and again we have heard. Many of us feel it is only when we are in salah we must fold our trousers above our ankles. My respected brothers and elders, if you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our pants, our trousers should be above our ankles at all times. That person whose pants is below his ankles is not forgiven on the night of Sha'ban. Then that person who disobeys his parents. We have heard so many bayans, so many talks on obedience to parents, how we should honor them, how we should serve them, how we should make their khidmat. But that person who disobeys his parents, then he is not forgiven on the night of Sha'ban. And the last person in the hadith that is mentioned, that person who is an alcoholic. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that a time will come in my ummah when wine, khamar, will become rife. If we have friends or people in our family who have got this bad habit, let us go in a nice way, in a nice manner, try and take them out of this terrible habit, because an alcoholic is not forgiven on the night of Sha'ban. My respected brothers and elders, I mentioned this so that before the night of Sha'ban can come, let us remedy ourselves if we are guilty of these crimes, so that we may gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and we may not become deprived. Coming back to the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned many, many ahadith regarding the virtues of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan or fasting became compulsory, became fard on the Muslims 18 months after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Makkah to Medina. It was the second year of the hijrah. Second year of hijri when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained the Muslims to keep roza. Some ulama, as is mentioned in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, that before Ramadan became compulsory, the Muslims had to fast on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. But when Ramadan came, and Ramadan became compulsory, then that fast then became abrogated. It no longer became compulsory to fast on the 10th of Muharram. Then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very, very clearly in the Holy Quran that, O ye who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Just as it was made compulsory on those before you. So we find this roza is not something new to this ummah. It is something that was compulsory on the other ummahs as well. What is the maqsad of roza? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may have taqwa, inculcate in yourselves taqwa. So that you may ward off evil. So that you may bring into your life all the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you may refrain from sins. When you inculcate in yourself taqwa, then you become the wali of Allah. You become the friend of Allah. So the month of Ramadan is that great occasion and opportunity for all of us to become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions very clearly, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. So we become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many virtues, as I mentioned in the hadith. I've just sifted out approximately 10 virtues from the various ahadith which have been mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a fasting person. The very first reward that has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a fasting person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. That I personally reward the fasting person. There are many explanations to this, but very briefly, the commentators explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Kareem, He personally gives reward to the fasting person, means that the reward for roza is limitless. The reward for roza is not fixed. Other ibadat we have many times in the hadith mentioned, if you perform salah, this is the amount of sawab you will get. Or it is multiplied to a certain amount. But when it comes to fasting, because we find in fasting, there is a very small possibility of somebody really coming to know that a person is fasting, unless the person reveals it himself. Generally we find a person who is fasting, you won't even know. We have so many people here who fast regularly Monday and Thursday. Only if you see him probably sitting next to you at the time of iftar opening his fast, then you may realize this person was fasting. So fasting is such a thing that there is less possibility of a person having riya in him. Other ibadat, I can stand and read namaz in front of you, lengthy rakat, I can read tilawat. There is a possibility of riya, ostentation coming to a person who is performing other ibadat. But fasting is such a thing which is hidden. You will not know until the person himself tells you that he is fasting. Therefore, there is tremendous sawab kept for fasting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I give reward to the fasting person. The second reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the fasting person. All his sins are forgiven. There are so many ahadiths that mention that one Ramadan to the other Ramadan, in between whatever minor sins you committed, when you keep the first Ramadan, you observe the first Ramadan, then till the next Ramadan, whatever sins you committed, Allah forgives you. Now this does not mean now we have an open license to commit sins. This is Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy upon us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy descends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy descends in the month of Ramadan. The fourth virtue, that roza will intercede on behalf of the fasting person. On the day of Qiyamah, roza will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mana'tuhu at-ta'am. That, O Allah, I prevented this person from food and drink and shahwat, and fulfilling his desires. O Allah, fashafi'ni fih. O Allah, accept my intercession on his behalf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person. The fasting person's du'as are answered. Here again, there are so many ahadith that emphasize this fact, that du'as of a fasting person are answered. The du'as of a fasting person, especially at the time of iftar, they are answered. It is mentioned in some ahadith that certain du'as are not rejected. Amongst those du'as which are not rejected are those du'as of a fasting person at the time of iftar. My respected brothers and elders, something else for us to bear in mind, that we should make sure long before iftar we are in the masjid, and especially those 5 or 10 minutes before iftar, engage yourself in ibadah, engage yourself in du'a. Cry and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very clearly, فَإِنَّ الشَّقِيَّ مَنْ حَرُمَ فِيهِ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The most unfortunate person, the most unlucky person, is that person who is deprived of the blessings, the rahmat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. Here is an occasion to raise your hands, your begging bowl, and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is prepared to answer your du'as. This is the occasion we should use to make du'a for the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the mujahideen, what hardships they are undergoing. We know the people in Palestine, our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, and in Kashmir, in India, in so many other parts of the world. This is the time where we should raise our hands and cry and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another blessing that has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially regarding the fasting person, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِحِ الْمِسْكِ. That odor that emanates from a fasting person's mouth is more sweeter and fragrant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk. Many of us have this bad tendency of complaining about the odor that emanates from a fasting person's mouth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is more atyab, it is more fragrant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find as-sawmu junnah. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that fasting is a shield. Fasting saves a person from committing gunas. Unlike the other months, a person does not control himself so well. He does not curb his passions, his evil tendencies that he has. In the month of Ramadan, things which are generally permissible for us now become haram for us during the day. Eating and drinking, it becomes haram for us during the day. As the Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention, that if we ponder that halal things become haram for us during the day for the fasting person, then can you imagine how important it is to abstain from haram things which are normally haram? A point for us to think about. For example, cheating, swearing, lying, making ghibah, all these things are haram. They become more haram in the month of Ramadan for us. We should bear this in mind. Many times we spend our day correctly, but right at the last moment of our iftar, we become angry with the poor wife at home. Just as we also want to gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures, let us be fair to them also. We demand the best type of food. Immediately after Maghrib Salah, we just, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, and we already rushing off, the food must be ready. When does she get her time to make her dua and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is the month of sabr. Shahru sabr. We should exercise true patience. That is why Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith, if you are fasting and somebody angers you, tell him nicely, "Bhai, I'm fasting." It is the month where we should exercise sabr. Sabr also from gunas. Refrain from sins. It is a month where we will endeavor and strive, and we will exert ourselves in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith mentioned 4 things we should do. Firstly, recite in abundance the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The virtue of this we have heard many times in Fazail Amal also. There are many virtues mentioned about recitation of the kalima la ilaha illallah, which is very easy to read whilst we are walking in our businesses, at home, in the masjid, whilst in the car. Recite la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in abundance. Second thing, make a lot of istighfar. Tawbah and istighfar. The famous hadith which we all have heard, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended the minbar, when he took the first step, he said Ameen. Second step, he said Ameen. The third step he took, he said Ameen. Sahaba radiallahu anhu inquired, "Ya Rasulullah, we witnessed a very strange thing today. You said Ameen each time you took a step." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and he said, "Curse be to that person who has parents, but he fails to make khidmat of the parents, he fails to obey his parents, either both of them or one of them, whoever is alive, despite having that ability to serve them, he fails to obey them, he fails to serve them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed such a person. I said Ameen to that dua. Jibreel sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, curse that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen to that curse of Jibreel sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second person is that person, when the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken, he fails to send salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person who fails to send durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also cursed. Then the third person is that person who, despite the month of Ramadan coming, he fails to make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fails to repent over his sins. He fails to stretch out his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shed those tears and repent and make a sincere repentance over his sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen to that baddua of Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this we can understand how important it is to make sincere tawbah and istighfar during the month of Ramadan. So these two things have been mentioned, recitation of kalima la ilallah in abundance, make a lot of istighfar. The third thing, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. And the fourth thing, ask Allah ta'ala to save you from the fire of Jahannam. So these four things have been mentioned in one hadith. Then of course we find many ahadith and the practice of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and the Salaf al-Salihin, where they would spend most of their time in the month of Ramadan in tilawat of the Quran. It was the month in which the Quran was revealed. We find our Kabirin, Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, he was 70 years old, yet we find he would spend his entire day, most part of his day, in the tilawat of the Quran. After Maghrib Salah, whereas most of us are busy partaking of our iftar, and we are preparing then for Taraweeh Salah, Mawlana used to perform not 6 rakats of Awabin. Normally he would perform 6 rakats of Awabin. During the month of Ramadan, he would perform 20 rakats of Awabin namaz. This is after Maghrib Salah, which is Nafil, in which he would recite 2 paras. 70 years old he was. After that was Taraweeh. And you should perform Taraweeh. After Taraweeh, approximately 11:30, he would retire to bed, he would rest. His khadim say that Mawlana should rest for just for about 3 hours only. And again he should be up in Tahajjud Salah, crying and engage in Tilawa in Tahajjud Salah. Right till Sehri, just at the time of Sehri, he would have a few morsels to eat. And while speaking about Sehri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tasahharu, have Sehri, partake of Sehri, because Sehri is barakat, blessings. Many of us have the bad habit, after Tarawih we have a snack and we sleep away. Sehri is gone, Fajr is gone, everything is gone. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the best type of Sehri is to have some dates. So whilst we have other things also to eat, also include in your meal some dates. Nevertheless, Mawlana should have his Sehri, and Fajr, after Fajr, he would sit right till Ishraq, engage in Dhikr of Allah, Tilawat of the Quran. After Ishraq, then he would have some rest, and then he should wake up again after 1 or 2 hours, where then he would write fatawa, and he would be engaged in writing kitabs and answering letters of his murids, right till the time of Zuhr Salah. From Zuhr to Asr, he would close his door, and the entire period only in the Tilawat of the Quran. Similar was the case of Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi. Similar was the case of Mawlana Madni rahmatullahi alayhi. Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayhi memorized the whole Quran just in the month of Ramadan. During the day he would learn one para, in the night he would recite in Taraweeh. At the end of the month he became Hafiz of Quran. This is the practice of Akabirin, Salafi Salihin. Of course we are weak, we cannot match them, but at least minimum at least recite one para per day in the month of Ramadan. So at the end of the month you have recited your 30 paras, and your one Quran khatam is made in the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, if we program ourselves before the month of Ramadan, we have approximately 2 weeks left. It will be advisable if we make a small timetable at home and program our entire day, and let us set some targets that I'm going to complete so much of dhikr for this day, and so much of tilawat, and I'm going to engage in so much of ibadah, and so much of charity, and so much of nafil salah, and so much of tahajjud salah. Then inshallah you will find that the month of Ramadan will come, and we will appreciate this month of Ramadan. We will gain maximum benefit from this month of Ramadan. And we won't feel remorseful when the month of Ramadan goes by. Because we know from past experience how often we have mentioned at the, when Ramadan expired, when Ramadan went by, then if we said we did not spend our time correctly, how I wish if I did this, how I wish if I spent my time correctly. My respected brothers and elders, let us encourage our Muslim brothers and our sisters and our youth especially to spend and observe this month of Ramadan, this Mubarak month, in the best of ways, in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let it be the best Ramadan we ever had experience in our life. And let it be such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that sihat, that health, that taqwa, that iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that coolness of our heart, coolness of the mind to experience and observe Ramadan correctly. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.